Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Final Boss Blues podcast. This is your three hosts. I'm Raynard Frost, and I'm joined with Despain and Killam.
Yo.
Hey, guys.
Despain here. Welcome to episode two
of the Final Boss Blues podcast.
Episode two.
This is brought to you by the wonderful website, finalbossblues.com, where Despain writes lots of tutorials and hosts this podcast, so we can get lots of stuff covered. And we're going to start off with a new segment that we hope to be a regular segment called Play or Flay, where we go into the RPGMakerWeb.com forums and we pick a random topic of the project development forum, and we basically pick a thread and we judge it like harsh judges. But what we do is we look at it kind of like you're in a game store and you're looking at the back of the box, and we decide whether or not this thread will make us want to play the game or just put it back on the shelf.
Or if it's worth downloading or not.
Yeah.
Like, does the thread, you know, make me want to bother downloading the game and giving it a try?
Exactly.
In which case, if it does, that's a play.
And if we want to put it back on the shelf or shake our heads, then it's a flay. So, we're going to start off with our first thread that Despain has picked up for us. Can you tell us about that?
This game is called Vermilion by A Moonless Knight. I got to preamble this with the acknowledgement that I have no idea who this person is. I've never interacted with her before. One of our things with Player Flay, we're going to be choosing projects more or less at random, but we also want to shed light on projects that are not by members that are particularly prominent, so we can spread the word about some of these other projects and hopefully bring some more activity to the forums.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
So we're looking disclaimer, at we're here. Not being biased.
Yeah. So we're looking at Vermilion. You can all check it out, and you should. You know, if you're listening to this, go ahead and open up your browsers and check out Vermilion by A Moonless Knight. It's in the project development forum on RPG Maker Web. Rainer, do you want to kick us off?
Yes. All right. So I'm gonna try my best to read the background she's got here, plus the list of features, as if this were some kind of movie trailer. So here goes. It is a time of relative peace for the country of Elowen. 20
wow,
years.
You're really blowing into your microphone.
Yeah, you gotta watch out with
hold
that.
we're gonna edit that out, right?
Yeah,
right,
how's this?
It is a time of relative peace for the country of Elowen. 20 years have gone by since the signing of the peace treaty with Zenmir to the west, making the two countries allies. The current ruler, Great Lord Balthair, has been in office for 30 years. Despite the years of harmony, he still maintains an expansive army. Taxes around the country are moderate and stable, except in the capital city of Maiden, where they are always high. Warriors can wield basic battle
magic. They're always smoking weed in Maiden.
The capital city of Maiden, where they are always high.
They're always getting high.
Yes, where they are always... yes! Not the taxes, the people.
Right. The people are always getting high.
Warriors can wield basic battle magic by equipping their weapons with magical shards. Shards are relatively common. True mages and healers, born with the innate ability, are rare, to the point where most people are skeptics and think they are using hidden shards. However, there are no shards that can harness healing magic. Most towns hire a healer to take care of their wounded, but they are generally regarded with fear.
All
with
right.
Features such as parallax maps, three-dimensional characters with their own wants, needs, dreams, and morals. That's four dimensions, listed as three. Gameplay will be driven by a, hopefully, deep and compelling storyline. Some original graphics, face sets and battlers for now, and maybe more if I have the drive. Side view battle system, Rito plus ES battle engine. Advanced in system, Yanfly's hospital script. Weapon leveling system, and that is Vermilion by A Moonless Knight.
So guys, what do you think about that
beautiful
game? Des, you go first.
Well, first I want to mention that the project thread is actually pretty spiffy. Like, I mean, this is kind of the standard these days, but I mean, they have their logo, they have a pretty sweet looking world map, and
That world map is actually fairly well crafted.
It said it was made by using Celiana's world map PSD thing that I've seen on the forums, but it looks pretty sweet, I guess. I mean,
No, it definitely, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this were printed on a piece of cloth and included in the PlayStation 1 case.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
Yeah.
As for the story that you read, kind of lost me when it was talking about shards.
Yeah, that seemed less talking about story and more trying to explain how her gameplay works through the story medium.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I guess...
That's stuff that you can explain via gameplay. That's not something you need to throw us in the forum post.
Yeah, but it could be like a...
Okay, shards, cool.
Yeah, but it could be like a real cornerstone of the world, which could have a huge impact on the story and stuff like that.
Yeah, the healing magic, it seems like that's actually a core concept of the story itself. Like, that's the meat of it, hopefully.
Yeah, it could be phrased better. It could be more focused on, instead of talking so much about the shards, but talking about how even though through these shards you can do magic, healers are very, like, healing magic is very rare and innate and judged with suspicion. So people who can heal are like, what the fuck, you're not using science. What's wrong with you? You know, selling it more on that and less, like, it just seemed more like, I'm going to explain the feature of how my magic works and less trying to sell the fear behind healers.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean, yeah. Alright, another thing, the world map, I really like that. It shows that she really fleshed out the world, or it just really, yeah, everything's labeled. It really does look nice, and it looks professional, too. That's
probably a nod to Celiana for making the PSD to begin with, not to discredit A Moonless Night.
Oh, no, not at all, but you can see that she put a lot of work into the names, especially. Even, like, little stuff like that really makes a difference.
Some of the fonts are hard to read. Like, no, the cursive font is a little difficult to see exactly what it says.
No, what I like the most about the names on this map is, yeah, the names of the cities are kind of fantasy, or the names of the nations are kind of fantasy-ish, but she also named the locations, like the natural locations, how explorers would have named them, like ore islands. This is where we do a lot of mining. The Trader's Ocean, a lot of trading. The Belt. All of these things are simple. It reminds me of Game of Thrones and stuff like that, where they're just simple names. They're not needlessly complicated. Yeah. They give you a gist of
There's
what...
There's no apostrophes all over the place, which I kind of hate.
The harrowing seas.
Yeah. I like the Here Be Dragons at the top.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's
in there as kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke, because I guess the apps have those.
But one thing to note is that although this world map is nice, the game only takes place in Elowen, the bottom right portion of the map. So she has a whole rest of this world to explore, and hopefully, if this game does well, hopefully future.
Oh, no, I think that the game just begins in Elowen. I'm sure that, I mean, the game takes place elsewhere.
She says in an actual quote, the game only takes place in Elowen.
Oh, she said that?
Where?
It's right beneath the map. She says, please note that while this is a world map, the game only takes place in Elowen.
That's pretty cool, wow. I guess. I mean, okay. All right. So,
she's got this whole world planned out, but she's only going to touch a portion of it.
I actually like that a lot. I like
that.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
It shows that the world is larger, you know, that, you know, you can really focus on one area to get into the whole thing, and then, you know, you still have the rest of the world there, so you can mention things, and it, you know, it feels more immersive to tie into last week's theme.
Exactly. That is a very good point of world immersion. And I want to jump to the screenshots.
No, characters come first. Go in order, bro.
Just come first. All right, so...
There's original faces, it looks like, the art here.
Oh, yeah, no, these are...
I mean, it's pretty sweet. I mean, I'm definitely tired of seeing the same RTP faces for every character, so...
Well, I really like... I especially like the third character, Blanche. I like her hair. And the way that's set up. This art style is actually pretty good. I mean,
yeah, I like it a lot.
Some custom drawn stuff where it looks very like I drew anime in 10 minutes by tracing over somebody's face and changing their hair. This looks like they actually have a bit of composition and some anatomy. Their head's well proportioned.
I don't know if, I think A Moonless Night drew them herself because it doesn't say anybody else did. So, I mean, props to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely props to Moonless Night for taking that extra step to draw custom face sets. So let's see here. Let's start off with who I presume to be the protagonist, which looks to be a female protagonist. Her name is Anthea. 20 years old. Yay! No teenage protagonist in an RPG. Those points. Short sword or bow. Let's see here. Anthea is a serious young woman who is well-versed.
I don't think we have to read the whole description.
I want to read everything. You're right. Okay. All right. So what are we going to discuss about the characters?
Oh, we can just say that they look okay. I mean,
the original art is definitely a plus.
Yes. Okay. So custom art. That's bliss. All right. Yeah. So let's jump up to the next.
And I think it mentioned that the two primary characters are twins or something. And he's her twin brother, and they definitely look it. I mean, they've got a similar style, so I mean, it works. So far, I'm digging it.
Oh yeah.
The sprites seem to be Franken-sprited, but in a really cohesive way. Like nothing stands out as really awkward. And I don't think I recognize them from other games.
Well, the last character, Wes, looks like a XP character.
Yep, I noticed that, especially with the hair.
And that helmet thing, that's definitely the Lancer dude from XP.
But it was originally made here, it seems.
Yeah, they changed his hair. Oh, yeah, they Frankenspited that helmet onto, the rogue's hair.
Oh, yeah?
That red-haired rogue guy with the spiky Wolverine hair. I think he was a VX character.
All right. So screenshots?
Screenshots. I have noticed some good things.
I like the title screen. I'm a fan of minimal title screens, so yeah. I'm actually digging the plain, the title with the stuff below it.
Yeah, I'm also a fan and a practitioner of minimalistic title screens. I mean, some art wouldn't be nice, but you look at classic RPGs like Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior and all that stuff. They just had the logo back screen. That was it. You know, don't need all these super fancy gradient crap on your title screen. So it's simple. It gets the point across. It doesn't look half-assed. It's a good thing. I like the next shot where this is the only shot I need to see of a location and dialogue. It's a good shot, but the rest of these screenshots are all just here's a building, here's another building, here's a castle. I do like the beach shot because it's really well composed, and that's another one. But
I like the seashells.
They're cute. Seashells.
I mean, the maps are parallax maps, right?
Yeah,
they said that in the features. But I have to mention that the grass does the whole fading thing, which I hate. That's a huge pet peeve of mine. Where the grass just fades into the dirt without any kind of border. Like, in real life, grass does not fade.
No. Didn't you write a tutorial about that?
I made a little image, and I posted it in the screenshot thread.
We were talking about that. Yeah, you definitely want to have a distinction between the grass and the pavement.
Everybody does it. It's just like, I mean, I can't fault the creator of this game because it's just so common. I would advise people do something there. I mean, you're taking a fading eraser.
You could take it a step forward by doing that, where you distinctly have the grass and the road separate. I mean, you can have the grass kind of overlap the tile, but make sure the two don't no blend.
So, what do you think about the selection of screenshots we have here? I see three images in a row that show off the interiors, and I mean.
No, that's my point, is the outdoor sceneries. I mean, you can have the blacksmith shot to show off these are how interiors are like, and then have the village shot where there's the dialogue, and then the beach shot, because that also shows a good location. But the rest of these screenshots should all be showing off gameplay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them.
Or
they look really nice.
Or at least different areas. Like, I mean, I see the three in a row are all interiors, and not one of them shows anything different than the one before it, if you understand what I mean.
Like, yeah, no, I understand.
Variety that shows off more areas, more applications of the game, rather than just, here's three houses that I made.
It's
as impressive as they are. I mean, they're pretty sweet.
They are all good screenshots. I'm not knocking on the screenshots themselves. And I agree there should be more variety, but I would like to see less locations and more showing off gameplay.
Yeah, they're more images of maps than actual screenshots.
Yeah, like, I'd like to see some combat screenshots. I'd like to see how your menus look. I'd like to see...
Menus can be kind of boring.
Like, I want to see more about what I'll be able to do in the game, not where I'm going to be able to go.
Yeah, yeah. Is that all we have for this game for now? I mean,
seems like
we're at the end of the thread. I would like to mention that when we go back up to the features, some of these things I wouldn't say are features, but are things I would expect in a good game. Like, three-dimensional characters shouldn't be a feature.
No, that's... If you were talking about your story, you shouldn't ever talk about your story as a feature.
Yeah,
your story is... It's expected in the game. Your three-dimensional characters, you don't need to talk about that. That will be explained through your character section. If your character summaries make them seem three-dimensional with wants, needs, dreams, and morals, you'll cover that in the character section.
Or not, because I would assume and I would hope that every game has three-dimensional characters.
Yeah, I never know.
advertising that says to me that, you know, you're trying too hard. I want to put it nicely.
Yeah, but I mean, no, it definitely comes off as a bit of padding. But yeah, that's something to be expected. Your characters should be developed before you put them in the game. If you're putting in a feature, you need to put your features need to be how does your game stand out with other games? And I mean other good games. I don't mean other games. The standard should be characters that are three-dimensional with their own wants, needs, dreams, morals.
When I see a features list, I want to see gameplay features. Like, it says weapon leveling system. Okay, that's fair. Side view battle system. All right. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a core gameplay thing.
Battle system to me is very... That can be shown in a screenshot. That doesn't need to be a feature because that's an aesthetic change.
But I'm okay with it being listed in a features list because it compares with other games on the forum. You can say,
does,
you know... It's not necessarily a feature. It's kind of a core gameplay thing. But at the same time, I understand why it would be listed. But it's not in the same category as, hey, I have three-dimensional characters. That shouldn't be on a features list. And everybody does it. I mean, I'm not faulting just the character, just the Moonless Knight. But
on this one, this is
this happens to every like parallax map. Like my game has maps. Like that's great. So does every other game that's on a feature. I hate when people do that. It's just
if you can show it off in a screenshot, you don't need to put it on your features list.
Yeah,
parallax maps, we can tell by looking at your screenshots. Three-dimensional characters will be able to get some gist. That's A, to be expected, and B, we can get a gist of it through your character summaries. Mm-hmm. Gameplay will be driven by a hopefully deep and compelling storyline. Two issues I have with this. One, if your storyline is deep and compelling, well, actually three things, but if your storyline is compelling, you can tell through the story summary. Two, never use the term deep to describe your storytelling. That is fluff, pure and simple.
Let other people use the word deep to describe your storytelling.
Yes. If somebody said, yeah, it's like when you call, it's like being cool. You don't call yourself cool. Other people call you.
I call myself cool.
Yeah, I call myself cool. I don't know what you're talking
about. Both are arrogant bastards, which is a good thing, by the way. But gameplay will be driven by a storyline. You're an RPG. That's a given. So you don't need to list that as a feature. Some original graphics.
Not a feature.
That is a feature when you consider that it is an RPG Maker game. That kind of is a feature, especially in the forums, when you think about it.
It's like the side view battle system. In the stance of RPG Maker, it does make sense.
It's worth noting, but I wouldn't count it as a feature.
Okay, so we're running a bit long on this segment. Let's
Flay.
Yes, play or flay. Despain, you go first. What are your impressions?
I say in comparison to a lot of other projects that I've seen, this seems worth checking out. I would give this a play.
Okay. Killam, what is your impression of the game?
I would give it a play, but if it just showcased more gameplay and not just pretty maps, it would be a much more strengthened play. But yeah, this looks pretty good. I can get behind this.
Okay. And my impression is I would give it a play because... the characters seem pretty fleshed out. I do like the mechanic of healers being viewed with suspicion. I love when anyone addresses magic type stuff. And the screenshots and the maps do look nice, but I agree with Killam. They really need to show off a lot more gameplay. But yes, so you have it here, unanimous across the board. This is a play, Vermillion by A Moonless Knight. Check it out. RPGMakerWeb.com forums, project development. She's doing a good job with this, and we recommend it. So let's move on to the actual show.
Yeah, today's topic is what drives stories.
But before we get into that, a recent catastrophe.
here we go. Okay.
Yeah. Killam, let's hear about your experience.
All right. Let's see. I had 4 days of no power, I took a shower using hot water in cups, and I had chips and salsa for 4 days straight. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that is why today's podcast has been delayed by a few days because of Hurricane Sandy. So congratulations on surviving your harrowing experience.
I'm sure you lost lots of weight.
Oh man, it was so fun. I was by myself in the house of just complete darkness. Yeah, it was great, surreal.
Remember, kids, what would drive most men mad, Killam finds fun.
Yeah, he had plenty of time to cuddle with his body pillow.
Yeah, I don't have a body pillow, right?
Anyway, today's...
Cut that out!
Today's topic... I'm not cutting that out. Today's topic is what drives stories, or in broader terms, what drives the game, in, you know, with a story backup. So,
Let's just get right into it. All right. About a month or two ago, I was reading a very interesting article about game design that tailored to RPGs specifically, and it broke down RPGs into three story drives, you can call them, plot-driven, world-driven, and character-driven. And it said that these three components can combine to form a game, or they can be by themselves. And it was really interesting how this worked out.
Cool, cool. So, why don't you tell us a bit about what makes a game plot-driven?
Oh, yeah, let's get right into it. All right. What is a plot-driven game? Well, let me start off with an example first. The very, very first Final Fantasy game would be the... It really only is a plot-driven game. The characters in the world around it are there only for the plot. If it wasn't for the plot, you wouldn't have a game. There wouldn't be a world. You were just given... Oh, hey, there's some crystals that are out. I need you to go fix them. And that's it. There's no characterization. The world is there only because there are crystals. And that's pretty much what a plot-driven game is. A game that is driven only because of the plot.
I would like to add that these concepts aren't necessarily just for RPGs. It's a pretty broad thing in the world of literature. I mean, anybody who's gone to high school, usually they teach this kind of stuff. For example, the classic plot-driven example is the, there's like a disaster movie or something, like an asteroid's coming to Earth and then people react to it.
That's Volcano!
A story like, with Tommy Lee Jones, a story like that is typically considered plot-driven because it's not necessarily the characters that are motivating everything, they're reacting to something that happened. So next up, Killam, do you want to describe what world-driven games are?
Whoa, that's not me, come on.
All right. No. I'll talk about world-driven games because I'm a huge fan of them.
Yeah, don't throw me out. Come on.
Let's not throw him under the bus. He just survived a hurricane. Have some sensitivity.
Seriously.
All right. So, world-driven games, in my opinion, are games where the world is your prime motivator to experience this game. Like, for example, Pokemon is a huge world-driven game because you are exploring this world, catching the Pokemon. All of this stuff. Other examples are, you know, Sleeping Dogs, Red Dead Redemption, all this stuff. So, pretty much just games that are world-driven. You know, games where the world jumps through it. So, Dez, what do you think is a character-driven type of game?
I play very few games, unfortunately. I need to clear my schedule some more. But I would definitely say that the strongest example of this, from my experience, is The Walking Dead. That game is just... you care so much about the characters, and the characters motivate everything. I mean, not even the whole thing where it's choices, but even beyond that, the whole story is driven by the characters, and they're... I mean, yeah, there's a zombie apocalypse, but that's kind of backdrop to the interaction between the characters, and, I mean, all the conflict in the game is from the characters themselves. I mean, yeah, you fight zombies, but... the actual conflict is in how characters interact with each other and interact with other characters in the world. So I would definitely say that The Walking Dead is a strongly character-driven game.
Okay. So let's go back to plot-driven with Killam. Can you give us some other examples of a game that is plot-driven?
Well, most of the plot-driven games that are strictly plot-driven are mostly reserved for the antiquity era of gaming, like Super Nintendo, Nintendo, because... having just a plot-driven game really isn't entertaining because you need to have characters that you care about. But sometimes you can have games that overlap. For example, Heavy Rain is a good example of a plot-driven game with character-driven as well. And Darksiders too.
Well, Darksiders, I'm going to have to disagree. I mean, that's plot-driven, but that to me is purely plot-driven. There's the apocalypse. deal with it. You don't care about the characters. You don't care about what's going on. You're just running around, wrecking stuff, solving puzzles. And another one that would be purely plot-driven would be Legend of Zelda from the beginning up till now. They haven't changed.
Yeah, I forgot about that completely. Where,
yeah, the Legend of Zelda is a huge plot-driven game that has not changed its prime motivator throughout the... I mean, yeah, we like Link, we like Zelda, we like Ganon, but the whole point is save the princess. That's your plot. Deal with it. They don't really flesh out the characters, except for the recent one with Skyward Sword. They got a bit into characters, but it did not drive the plot. It was just a nice little bit of flavor. What do you think, Dez?
I've never played that game.
Well, I mean, any game. Like, any game where you felt it was where it was driven mostly by its plot.
Black Mesa?
Black Mesa. There you go.
Actually, yeah, that does work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Half-Life, but yeah, that is...
Well, yeah, I guess it was originally played as Half-Life. Yeah. But, the aliens come, and, you know, then there's dudes, and it's all about, you know, dealing with that whole incident.
Yeah.
All right.
That whole game was driven purely by plot. Like, you're Gordon, you're in the situation, aliens, soldiers,
yeah.
get to business.
It. Deal with it.
that, to me, is what makes a game plot driven. Like, if you are making your RPG Maker game and you're gonna make it plot driven, you're just like, here's your situation, deal with it, go to town. You're not gonna deal a lot with characters except to get something you want.
I would encourage anybody to make a game and with, you know, a plot driven thing.
Yeah, here's the thing with plot driven. It really, again, I'll repeat myself, it's reserved for the antiquity era of gaming. I would not recommend you making a plot driven game right now, especially. You want characters in RPGs to be fleshed out. You want to care about them. And with a plot driven game, you don't have that.
I disagree slightly. I think your early projects should be plot driven.
I think your early projects should be driven solely by mechanics and understanding the program.
Well, no, that's what I mean. If you have a plot-driven game...
Oh, yeah, like you don't have to put too much thought in it, you just...
Yeah. A plot-driven game, to me, is the closest to gameplay-driven as you're going to get when it comes to your story. Because
exactly.
Your projects, you shouldn't spend your entire time writing an encyclopedia of your characters, your worlds, and all that stuff. You just go, here's my, like, Dragon Warrior, save the princess. Super Mario, save the princess. I mean, let's not get
Super Mario Galaxy 2, Bowser's huge.
Yeah, Bowser's huge. I mean, you can have whatever plot you want, but you jump in and you basically say, here is a reason for playing this game. It's an excuse plot. You just jump in, and then you as a developer can focus on, let me get my gameplay out of my way. Yeah. Let me get my world, you know.
And gameplay matters more than anything else. That's
exactly. And plot-driven games are as close to gameplay-driven out of the three of them. So I think for your earlier projects,
I would say that anything can be gameplay driven.
Everything has to be gameplay driven.
But I'm saying, as far as an early project goes,
for early stuff
out there and develop a name for yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can easily write out characters and you can easily make huge expansive worlds and you can get a game done on time and in a sizable window, if you can do that, then do it by all means. But if you're struggling a bit or you don't want to waste a huge amount of time, do not be afraid to just make a plot driven game just to get something out there.
Right, so basically for plot-driven, if you have really nice gameplay, you can go ahead with it, but if you don't and it's just a regular RPG, I would really recommend not having it at all.
Are you saying RPGs don't have good gameplay, Killam?
I would say that they don't.
I'm saying most of them that we... Yeah, I'm not...
Okay. Social links. No, but it... No, but I agree. If you have some really strong gameplay, plot-driven is all you need. So let's move on to world-driven. What are some, Killam, what are some games that you've played that felt very world-driven to you?
Could you just talk about Metroid Prime again?
Let's talk about Metroid Prime.
It's just the ultimate world-driven game. You don't even have to have a plot. There's just a world that you want to explore.
That's true.
The plot is really, really loose in that game when you think about it, but you don't think about it because the world is just so cool.
Yeah, exactly. That is the best example of a world-driven game I can give.
Well, no, the best thing about Metroid Prime and how it is a great example of world-driven is the first 5 minutes. I know I talked about this last time, but the cutscene is basically space, land on a ship, walk inside.
Yeah.
The world itself explains to you what's going on. There's no dialogue. There's no huge explanation. You walk in. You can tell from the world. Everything's messed up. There's space pirate corpses. There's this weird alien thing. Through just exploring that station, you realize what's going on. And then as you crash land and all that stuff, Nothing needed to be explained to you. No characters needed to tell you stuff. I'm looking at you, Other M. In the
world, come on, don't.
The world itself told the story to you.
You're just put there. I would say that if plot-driven games says deal with it, I would say that world-driven games say go for it.
Yeah, explore it.
Yes. World-driven games are the come-at-me-bro of games.
Yeah.
They're just like, go for it, explore, have fun.
Yeah,
plot-driven games are, you're in the situation, deal with it. No, that's a great analogy. I like that one.
So what about character-driven games? I have one.
Okay.
I would say that A Blurred Line was character-driven. Have you guys played this game? It's an old RPG Maker 2000 game by Lysander86.
I played that.
Classic.
Way back in the day.
For a few years there, it was considered as the best RPG Maker game of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a classic game. I would suggest everybody check it out. I mean, it's sort of weak compared to today's standards, but I don't really want to say that either because the game, it's a great story, and it's totally driven by the characters. Absolutely. One of the characters, the main character, Talon, he is framed for the murder of a mayor or some high-ranking guy, and the entire game is he is on the run from some bad guys who are after him, and then he ends up going on the attack, and it's so sad because right after this huge amazing twist, the game ends, and part two was never released, which is like the saddest tragedy that has ever hit the RPG Maker community is that Lion's End was never released.
Exactly.
But, the story was amazing, and the strength of the game lies on its characters. I would say that with confidence.
No, I agree with that. I remember that was one of the few RPG Maker games I actually took time to play back in the day, and it definitely reminded me of games around the Super Nintendo era when I was playing it. I was like, okay, this game has its stuff together, and these characters are really, really good. I mean, I actually care about what's going on, and I want to know what's going to happen with this protagonist.
Yeah, can I say a spoiler? Yeah, I mean, the game has been out for a while.
There's statute of limitations. It's passed.
There's one moment, like, halfway through the game where you learn that the main character, Talon, he's blind. Like, the guy you've been playing as the whole time has been blind all along. And that revelation just blew my mind the first time I played it. I was like, wow. And it was really well done. Because throughout the game, you have little hints. I noticed it like when I replayed the game. And these hints are actually explained through the gameplay, which is really cool. Like in the battle system, you can absorb powers from enemies by noticing their colors and stuff like that. And when the thing is first introduced, when this mechanic, Talon is, you know, he's a little overwhelmed by it. And later on, when you realize that he was blind originally, it totally clicks, and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool.
So he's blind and then gets to see, or is he blind throughout the entire thing?
He was blind in the beginning, and then, I mean, it's been a long time since I played the game, but I think that he slowly regains his vision in a way where he can sense colors or something like that. I mean, it's been a long time, okay. But I remember when I played it was mind-blowing.
So yeah, that's the impression you get. And that's a great example of how to make your characters really sell, like, not only flesh out your gameplay, but to really make your characters be unique, is they don't need a huge tragic backstory. They don't need this cliche crap. You can just do something as simple as, they used to be blind, they're starting to get some semblance of vision again, and it really makes your characters stand out.
Yeah, and it's about how the characters react to the situation, and, I mean, the dialogue was really good in that game, I think. If I remember correctly, I enjoyed it at the time.
As I recall, the dialogue was good.
That was
a while ago.
So,
Well, for... Let me just go off on a tangent real quick.
Yeah.
For RPG Maker games, I would really recommend having a character-driven story first and foremost, because
I would
once
say
you have
for any game with a story as its focal point, it has to be about characters.
Yeah, right. I mean, I learned this the hard way. I remember I had my game when I was talking to Despain about it, and I had a plot-driven story, and Despain just ripped me apart, and then he showed me how to make better characters, and then I made the characters, and then all of a sudden, the world and the story around it formed around the characters, and it just flowed so well, and yeah, if you have the characters that are good, everything else will follow. So I really recommend for everyone listening, if you have a game, p- please focus on the characters first, and then you'll see everything just mold together perfectly in the end.
I would retcon what you just said. If you have a game, focus on the characters first in terms of the story. If you have a game, focus on gameplay first.
Oh, yes. Yeah, obviously, but I'm saying, like, if you have an RPG, chances are it's going to be heavily influenced by the story, so you want to have the characters to drive that story. But this is an RPG. Most games are an RPG, so...
Well, yeah, but no, I had a similar experience with my own game, where the first alpha demo I released, it was a plot-driven thing. The characters didn't really matter, as Touch Fuzzy called it, it was an excuse plot, which is true. I was trying to make the game in 30 days, get it out there. I was just plotting and let's go. But as I'm developing it and I'm dealing with it, I'm making it more character-driven, where the characters actually have their own development and they get to talk about stuff. So I had a similar experience with You Kill 'Em, where it's...
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes the entire game so much better and so much more interesting to play through when you change it from plot to character-driven. I'm not going to go back on what I said where your first project should be plot-driven just to get some gameplay out, you know, get something out there. But if you have the time and you can do it in a timely manner, definitely, for that extra added touch, make it character-driven, because that will be the best... That'll be the best for it. I mean, world-driven for an RPG, especially if you're just one guy or a few people making an RPG Maker game, world-driven is too ambitious, because it takes a lot of resources and a lot of time to make a game huge and the world the reason to explore. But character-driven is that great middle ground to make a great RPG while also, you know, getting stuff out in a reasonable time.
Yeah, I agree. Because world-driven is, like last time, you need immersion, and it's really difficult in RPG Maker to have immersion. So when you have characters, they can immerse themselves in the story, and you're set.
I wanna talk a bit about good world-driven games, and I'm gonna step a little bit away from RPG Maker and RPGs and talk about Sleeping Dogs.
Metroid Prime? Oh, okay.
Metroid Prime. No, Sleeping Dogs, even though it had a lot of characters and a lot of all that stuff, it's kind of a hybrid. It's both character-driven and world-driven, but for me personally, it was more world-driven because I had so much fun just exploring Hong Kong and doing all these activities and interacting with the people and solving these crimes. Like, I just want... It's one of the few games of its genre where I just wanted to explore the whole city and 100% everything. The world made me want to complete all of the gameplay.
Is that a sandbox game like GTA?
Yeah, it's a sandbox game like GTA, but it had great combat where it was kind of like Arkham City's combat, where you can fight groups of guys.
There's another world-driven game right there.
Yes, Arkham City. I mean, which is kind of ironic, because you'd think that a Batman game would be driven by characters, when instead it is a very world-driven game. You want to
puts
explore.
You in the world of Batman.
Yeah, and you want to explore that world. You're like, I'm Batman. Let's go for this. So, you know, you get to meet the Joker, you get to meet Harley, you get to meet frickin' Two-Face and all that stuff. You get to meet these characters, and it's really great. But the thing that drives you is you just want to explore that world. You want to run into these goons, solve these mysteries and all that stuff. It's another good example of a world-driven game.
You don't have to have just a plot-driven, world-driven game or character-driven game. They can overlap, and in fact, I would recommend that they overlap. For example, Pokemon overlaps plot-driven and world-driven.
Pokemon is a mechanically-driven game.
Well, you mean like it's just gameplay, really, that you care about?
Nobody cares about the story in Pokemon. Nobody cares about the characters in Pokemon. I mean, you can get attached to your actual Pokemon, but that's not the characters. That's mechanics.
No, but there is a plot to follow. That's the point. You're going forward because there's a plot that makes you go forward, and there's
a world
around
matter.
It doesn't matter, but it still plays a significant role.
I mean, yeah, newer games are much stronger with the plot and the characters than the original ones. But, I mean, I'm talking about Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, and the whole story was, you know, you're just out there, go collect Pokemon, go fight some gyms.
That's a plot-driven game. We're talking about what drives a story. Okay. And yeah, like I was saying before, plot is as close to gameplay as you can get. And yeah, the original Pokemon games, pure plot-driven games.
Pure.
They're just, here's the plot, explore the game.
Pure, gotta catch them all.
Pure plot-driven stories, pure gameplay-driven games.
Yes, yeah. But right. We're talking about what drives the story.
We're talking about story, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm the kind of guy who gameplay matters the most. Like,
yeah, no, gameplay is the most important part of any
this
game.
This is true. This is true. Gameplay is the most important. I mean, all of these games we've talked about, the gameplay is what drives them. I mean, there hasn't been a game like... I mean, I'll play games mostly for the story, but the gameplay keeps me going. I mean, Mass Effect is huge. The story pulls me on that one. Like, that's both world and characters. I love exploring the world. I love interacting with the characters. It's a great hybrid game. But it also, I love the gameplay. Especially in Mass Effect 3. Just, I love, you know, I love the combat. I love
killing all the Geth. Killing all the Geth.
Yeah, just kill it. Yeah, well, you know, spoilers. But yeah, you know, wiping out an entire species so I can live.
Yeah, you're really just a dick. Why would you do that? Like, everyone hates you for that.
Everyone can hate me for that, but Renegade, dog, just ready. Which is ironic, because I was Paragon throughout the entire game. And then at the end, they're like, you have two options. You can bring society together, or you can wipe out a small portion of it so you can live and see what happens. And I went, you know what? I'm willing to make that sacrifice. I save them, and I can destroy them.
All right, here's a game that was driven solely by the gameplay, but the story, I think, is driven by the characters in a very, very strong way. And I have to admit, Portal 2 is, like, my favorite game. I'm probably going to mention it in every podcast. But, I mean, the characters, Wheatley wakes you up, and then there's GLaDOS. I mean, GLaDOS is such a strong character, and she's talking to you throughout the entire thing, and she motivates, she drives you for pretty much everything that you do. I would say that, I mean, even though the game itself is totally driven by the gameplay, which is phenomenal, and the puzzles, the actual story... It makes you care about what happens, so you're not just playing the game to play the amazing game, but you're also playing the game to combat GLaDOS.
It was definitely more character-driven than Portal 1. Portal 1 was completely gameplay-driven to an almost Tetris level. I mean, there was story there, but it didn't really hit you until the end. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I agree. Portal 2
they
was a lot stronger
level.
With the character-driven plot. Yeah. Or the character-driven story. It was way better.
I mean, that's a really good comparison. The difference between the story in Portal 1 and Portal 2 to look at, you know, how different they are and how much more effective Portal 2 is because of it.
Yeah, well, I don't buy Portal 2 because Portal 1, the gameplay was phenomenal. I loved it, but there were no characters. Like, it's one of those pick-up-and-play games. I couldn't play it for more than 2 hours without getting bored because there's
really?
No character motivation.
I played through the entire game in one sitting.
I did the same thing.
You're also sick or something. I don't remember.
Well, no, but that's a good example of what I was talking about before with RPG Maker games. Is Portal 1 is a great example of just get an excuse plot in there and focus on your gameplay and hone your gameplay and get something out there. Whereas Portal 2, they already had the gameplay in place, and then they could flesh it out a bit, add more characters to it, make the story more developed. They had their gameplay figured out. And then they could do more with it. So I recommend that to all you guys trying to make RPG Maker games.
But with RPG Maker, can you actually make gameplay that immersive and that good? I don't think it's completely
possible. Well, not as good. Well, no, it's different. I mean, you can make your game stand out as far as the gameplay goes. You can – I recommend boil it down to the basics. Try and make something simple and flesh it out through future iterations. You don't even have to release your initial versions if you're that scared about them. You can just keep those to yourself. But I do think that your first few projects should be focusing on trying to hone your gameplay, trying to make it where it stands out on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a classic RPG where the gameplay is what drives you to keep going and you just have an excuse plot. I mean, with my game, it's very excuse plot driven. It's very classic. And I've talked to some of my friends and other people who've played it, and they just said, I don't know what it is about it. It's just fun. I mean, I don't care what's going on. But I just have fun playing it. The gameplay is what makes me play it. So I think that with your first project, you should focus more on gameplay. I mean, if you can get the story out and you have it all planned out, go for it. But I do think that your initial few projects, like with Portal, focus on your gameplay, get that fleshed out. And then in future iterations, you can develop all these character stuff. But I mean, if you're on a team and you got one guy focused on characters, you got another guy going on gameplay, you can have your cake and eat it too. This is more advice for somebody doing a solo project.
Teams never succeed.
Yeah, teams.
But that's a subject for another show. I do think we're running a bit, so I think we should wrap this up.
All right, are we hitting the end of this thing?
If you would take the honors for wrapping this up.
All right, well, I would say closing arguments is we spent a lot of time talking about plot-driven versus world-driven versus character-driven games in terms of story, But if you take away from this that, you know, as important as all those things are, I just have to emphasize that underneath it all, gameplay is what makes a game. You don't say, hey, my game is, you know, character-driven or plot-driven, and use that as an excuse to, you know, cut back on actually putting effort into the gameplay. Like, I see so many people on the RPG Maker forums, and they're just like, oh, yeah, it's the story that matters, so I'm just putting thought into that, and, you know, the gameplay is kind of blah. And it's, no, I mean, if I wanted a story, I'll go read Game of Thrones.
I agree, 100%. I mean, gameplay is very, very important. It's the first portion of it. We discussed how to drive your story, and that's great to have your story drive it, and it's great to have a fleshed-out story. The story with the gameplay makes a great game. Yeah, I mean, I personally play a lot of games for the story, but if the gameplay is absolutely terrible, then I'm not going to be able to enjoy the story as much. Like, I'll tolerate some crap gameplay for a really good story, but I'll have even more fun if the gameplay is good. So I agree, you definitely need to focus on gameplay.
And I have to add again, when you're making a game, don't sit there and think, I'm going to make a world-driven game, and, you know, don't think I'm going to make a plot-driven game or anything like that. I think that these things come out of the game itself. So, I mean, we're talking about these categories, but we're not saying sit down and put your game into one of these categories. The more of these things that you can hit, the more motivations you have to drive your story, the more the better, is what I want people to take
away from this. But, and my final addition is, please, everyone, when it comes to gameplay, story, everything, follow my favorite theory. I learned this in high school. The KISS theory. Keep it simple, stupid. Start small, build up around it. Don't get overly ambitious because you'll never get anything done.
Yeah.
Kill him.
All right, and for me, I just want to basically go back to all the drives real quick. And you also have to remember what engine you're using. You're using an RPG Maker engine for RPG specifically. Your gameplay isn't going to be phenomenal or different. What I would stress, I mean,
it could be. You can do a lot with RPG Maker. But
you can, but there are limitations there. But I'm not really talking about gameplay. I'm talking about all the drives. Focus on characters first. Always focus on the characters, and then build your plot around them. That's really my advice I have for you, and it will make your game so much better.
Alright. I think that's all we have for today. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you around next time, and look forward to Play or Flay, our new segment. Give us some suggestions if you have any for which game we should check out. I'm sure that could be helpful for us in the future. So thanks a lot, and see you next week.